98.1 KZE. It is MK with you on your Tuesday afternoon. And with me in the studio, one of my favorite local artists. You can check out his new Kickstarter for his upcoming EP, Anti-Fascist Murder Ballads and Songs of Redemption. Please welcome to the KZE studio, Connor Wenk.
Thank you so much. I'm going to hit you with the only non-public domain recording on the track, cover song by David Allan Coe. Well, I'll spare you the title until afterwards because it's more fun that way. How do you spell relief? I get G-R-U-N-K. Lately since my baby left me, do it almost every day. It's the only thing that I've found that'll take the hurt away. How do you spell relief? I get G-R-U-N-K. Every night about sundown, I get a feeling deep inside. This old broken heart acts up and there's a hurt in my pride. But I found a surefire treatment that'll get me feeling right. When your memory starts flaring up, you just head for the neon light. How do we spell relief? I get G-R-U-N-K. Lately, Jay, since my baby left, we do it almost every day. It's the only thing that I've found that'll take the hurt away. How do you spell relief, Lord? I get G-R-U-N-K. I don't need no doctor to tell me what is wrong. I can write my own prescriptions and they last me all night long. It's the perfect medication for an ailment such as mine. I forget about the tears I've cried when the whiskey hits my mind. How do you spell relief? I get G-R-U-N-K. Lately since my baby left me, do it almost every day. It's the only thing that I found that'll take the hurt away. How do we spell relief, Lord? I get G-R-U-N-K. How do we spell relief, Lord? I get G-R-U-N-K. How do we spell relief, Lord? We get G-R-U-N-K. I'll have a mocktail.
98.1 KZE. That's Connor Wenk in the studio. That's some fine picking.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Tell me about this guitar. This is a cool guitar.
Thank you so much. Well, this is my newest instrument. I've been fortunate enough to get endorsed recently by a company called Klos, K-L-O-S, out of Utah, in these good old United States, and they manufacture carbon fiber instruments.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
It is wild. I have seen videos of them doing just absolutely bone-chilling things to this guitar, proving its borderline indestructibility, which I do not intend to test for myself, but I've just been very impressed so far.
And the sound is so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it lends itself particularly well to grass with the flat picking, but something about like... very crisp about it.
And too. Very resonant. You know, I mentioned this when you were here for Trish's show last week too, but it kind of reminds me of the sound of like this old Ovation that I had from my mom from the 70s with like the round back. It's got that same kind of like...
Now I fancy myself a fairly competent builder as well, and I used to work for Santa Cruz guitars out in, well, Santa Cruz. And one of the things Richard Hoover teaches you out there is like the biggest difference between like old world student model guitars and master models was that they would use a type of kerfing, which is like the glue it's the wood you glue to the sides that mounts the top. They would use
basswood or basswood. I never remember which one it is. And that is actually a non-resonant wood, the idea being that it would push the sound forward mm-hmm. instead of absorbing it into the back and sides. And again, I don't know exactly how they do it with the carbon fiber, but I put my hand on the top and I can feel it vibrating the top. Yeah. Again, it's carbon fiber. It is looks like they weaved it. But the back and sides, comparatively, like much less resonant.
Yeah.
It sounds completely different in front of you than it does when you're holding it. So
yeah.
Thank you guys over close. I am very much enjoying it and looking forward to the next ones.
Yeah. Well, you're doing good things with it. Tell us about the Kickstarter. I'm excited for this record. I've heard a couple of previews off of it.
Yeah. Well, anti-fascist murder ballads and songs of redemption. I've been of the mind to make protest adjacent music for a long time now. The oldest track recording wise on the album was one that I played with y'all last week, The Wayfaring Stranger. And thank you so much for
I'm gonna keep playing it. It's so good. It's beautiful.
Thank you for bumping it again. We recorded that one at Building Records with Lee Falco and Brandon Morrison, who are now, I believe, part of Sam Smith's band. And I had mentioned this when I was here last, but the band at the time sort of fell apart, but it was always one of my favorite recordings and arrangements of mine. And it's just terribly unfortunate that it's remaining so relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the song, for people who don't know, The Wayfaring Stranger, is a gospel and bluegrass standard written sometime in the 1800s. It really is a allegory not just for the journey of life to death, but of traveling people mm-hmm. and that sort of journey home. And so we wanted to do something that was very unambiguously paying homage to the plight of migrant people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really inspired along the way to do stuff like that by other artists like Joe Troop out of North Carolina via Argentina via North Carolina. He was originally from North Carolina, spent a lot of time in Argentina, and had a wonderful band called Che Apalache, which is Appalachian Friend.
Mm.
And they made Latin bluegrass.
Cool.
And it was, it really...
I could see those two genres going very, very well together.
You get it, that itch scratched, you just don't realize how good it could possibly be.
Don't even know you have the itch.
Exactly. But the rest of the album was really more for me a fire from the hip endeavor. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, I think a lot of performers and songwriters, aspiring or otherwise, have a tendency to really overwrought their songs and their writing process to the point where you become disenchanted with the stuff you do. And I didn't want to write complex music. I didn't want to write, I didn't want to overthink anything. And I'm so used to being someone who says, no first drafts. Like, we can't be putting out, just because,
Okay, so you do tend to go through a drafting process with your songs.
Absolutely. At least a couple layers of scrutiny, mm-hmm. if not multiple drafts, because, it's nice when you catch lightning in a bottle, and I do feel that way about this album. I mean, each song came very, very quickly to me, and I felt good about them.
Well, I think, they're the kind of songs, from what I've heard so far, that, they'll stick in your head easily. You can scream them at a protest as you punch a Nazi. And I think that's what it's all about.
Yes, they are, to varying degrees of intensity as well. But, like so many of the... So much American music, I feel like, and this was another sort of soft through line of the album. It's not, there's nothing on this album that is so contemporary because to say like, this is about this person, mm-hmm. and clearly we're talking about, like...
It's not the Bruce Springsteen Streets of Minneapolis song, which is great, but which is a very specific to a specific event.
Yes, this is more of a sort of broader look at the arc of fascist tendencies. Mm-hmm. But one through line that I didn't really mention last time that really is important to me is, you know, we grapple with how do we... deal with violence, how do we confront violence nonviolently? And when you're just the act of making music, whether it's violent or not, the subject matter, I should say, is violent or not, is a nonviolent form of protest
of course.
And resistance.
Yeah.
You know, and all of our favorite, or my favorite, I should say, genres, hip hop, blues, outlaw country, bluegrass, mm-hmm. and old time deal with violence. Mm-hmm. It's made out to be something it's not, but it took real bravery for, say, NWA to put out the material they did.
Yeah.
For Dylan to, you know, take even the semi-ambiguous stands that he did at the time, and for other artists like Neil Young, you know, mm-hmm. to make, you know, provocative, pointed, but poetic stabs at power. And one thing I always felt, you know, I have a song on here that I was thinking about doing today, but I don't think I can clean it up enough. So you're just going to have to wait and hear it on the EP. It's called Fascist Pigs. And this was the one I struggled with because it is the most, we'll call it, intense. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, is it okay? Should I do this? And I kept coming back to, you know, what's been okay for so long in every genre, every single genre of music, violence against women.
Mm.
How many Killed My Baby songs have mm-hmm. you heard? Was like, oh, she did me wrong. Now we have all the way back from, again, hip hop, bluegrass, all the way to the English ballads, what they would sing. In,
sure.
You know,
like, oh, yeah.
And I immediately got to thinking, well, what if we just had some more righteous targets than
yeah.
like the person
you're cheating ex.
Then you're cheating ex. Or not even the cheating. Sometimes it's just, hey, I saw someone talking to her and
yeah.
she had to go down. Like it's, and again, we've accepted, I think, as a... not just in this country, as a global society, a certain level of both rhetorical and, let's be honest, very real violence against women. And I feel like maybe we should be a little less reticent to redirect that towards, I don't know, say, the Ku Klux Klan.
For sure. I mean, I think one could, you know, just to play, I don't want to say I'm playing devil's advocate for, you know, the writers of those old timey, you know, Killed My Baby murder ballads, but I think at least in a lot of cases, they were intended as a what not to do.
Yes.
And intended as like a parable about like, you know, kind of losing your soul by, you know, resorting to this act of violence and, you know, perhaps even like representing domestic violence against women, you know, kind of shining a light on it before we had TV and Twitter to, you know, shine a light on things. So it is perhaps, you know, these were not calls to violence against women in the same way that perhaps you may wish to call violence towards a member of the KKK, which is still certainly a more justifiable target. But again, just for anybody out there who's, you know, kind of going, hey, those old timey blues songs were not exactly that. We feel ya.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point, you know, as society has been injected with, well, radio, TV, social media, and we have gradually become desensitized, you know, there has been a sort of a modality shift from cautionary to celebratory. And let me just put out there, this is not advocating violence or anything like that. However, what I will say is, if you're writing a song, that is inherently a nonviolent form of resistance.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't, this is what this album is primarily about, is being both relentless, reckless, and unguarded with the free speech that we are imbued with and should all be exercising on a daily basis. There's a lot of both institutional and popular forces that would police your speech, that mm-hmm. would tell you what to say, how to say it. And that is one of the things I really didn't want to overthink. Like I said, this album runs the gamut, not just in intensity, but also in genres. So we have street side gospel, old time banjo driven music, bluegrass, outlaw country. And last time I did a little sea shanty almost, I guess you could call it.
You know, I've been calling this an EP. Is it a full-length LP?
No, it is an EP. Okay. It's a strong 20 minutes, and it's 20 minutes well spent.
Nice.
So I guess, you know, with that being said, you know, I am doing this without a label, without being independently wealthy. And while I'm very happy with the purchases I made over the years, and again, thank you, Close, for endorsing me. This, you know, always this makes a musician's life much, much easier. This isn't a home recording. I worked at Humble Abode Studio with Mike Miranda of Mike and Ruthie and the Mammals. Sure. I'm so excited to have Jay and Molly, Jay Unger and Molly Mason on my, on the last, well, I guess not technically the last three, but on half of the album, as well as my friends Ronan Roche and Sasha Grin. But the Kickstarter is both a way to recoup some of that cost, as well as act as a modality for pre-orders and getting pre-sales on the album so that it becomes a little bit less burdensome. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you or anybody, for I'm sure for that matter, that things are tough out there, not just for the working musicians, but the institutional bodies that are supposed to be looking out for us are not doing that. And we're seeing our energy rates go up. We're seeing gas go up. We're seeing every single thing with daily life. So no matter how right you did, just if you ever find yourself, you know, pulling your hair out and thinking, you know, I did everything right, why is it like this? It is probably not your fault, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping, you know, for those of us, you know, it's hard for me to ask for that kind of assistance, but I'm here to do it. So if you are able to, please check me out on social media. It's CONOR. WENK on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram's sort of becoming my main hub, easier to deal with than Facebook and less of a scary dark hole than TikTok. Mm-hmm. But in my Instagram bio, you'll find a link to the Kickstarter. You can also just search my name on Kickstarter.com. And we're making good progress, but we got a ways to go. And the campaign is open until April 22nd. My next big push is going to be this Sunday. I don't have any wood to knock on. Well, yeah, I do. This is going to be the biggest show of my life, but hopefully so far, not ever. I'm going to be opening for Shadowgrass at Bearsville Theater. I've been wanting to play that stage under my name for a long time. So thanks to Mike Campbell and Max Siegel over there for making it happen for me. Again, that's April 12th, this Sunday. Doors are at 7, show's at 8, and I'm going to be doing some of my one-man band set where I play all the instruments, guitar, mandolin, bass, banjo, slide, fiddle, all the stuff, and then finish out the last 20-ish minutes with the EP.
Right on.
And this will, we're going to have a kiosk there with a bunch of information on the Kickstarter. We may even have EPs for sale as a special pre-sale opportunity.
Cool.
And because
people like physical media, you know.
So funny you should say that. We're not doing CDs, but I wanted to have something tangible. Mm-hmm. So I ordered all these little wooden USB drives.
Great.
They're like little rectangles with a magnetic cap. And my plan is to put a bunch, I'm going to put the tracks on there, the cover art, and a couple videos that you won't find in full, at least online.
Cool.
As well as maybe a letter thanking you so much.
That's a great idea. And do you also have a drip show coming up? Did I just hear?
I do, and I have been spending most of today in the mode of writing for that. I'm working on a new song with them too. We are going to be playing. It's the 25th of April, that Saturday at Keegan Ales, and it's going to be a really great time. They actually did a show without me recently because I was out of the country, and it was for a celebration of life for our friend Jerry in Woodstock, so shout out to Pearl Moon for that. But we're going to Keegan's this time.
Nice.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's really... I gotta tell you, you know, I feel as tight as it can be sometimes out there. I feel so grateful every day that I get to do music and that I get to do so much different music. Because if you're not into the bluegrass thing, well, I've got some funk, rock, and R&B for you that might wiggle you out of your seat.
Heck yeah. Connor Wenk is my guest. The new EP is on the way. Anti-Fascist Murder Ballads and Songs of Redemption. You can support it on Kickstarter. Connor, that is about all the time we have, but do you anything else we should know about?
No, just thank you so much for having me again. I am going to be having my CD release party, I'm going to have my EP release party at the Tinker Street Tavern May 9th. Please keep an eye out for that. Once I clear the Bearsville show, we're going to start pumping out some promo for that.
Right on. And that's this Sunday at Bearsville, opening for Shadowgrass. That's going to be a great show.
Yeah. And, I'm there to warm you up, but definitely stick around for Shadowgrass because these guys are a big deal. And you would be amazed how big a following they have for a band of bluegrass 20-somethings.
Heck yeah. Love that for them. And for you.
Yes, thank you.
It's KZE. We've got your community bulletin board and Gail Ann Dorsey's latest up next.